13th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ is one of the pivotal passages of this final book of our New Testament. In it, John the Apostle was given a vision, a very remarkable, unique, and astounding vision of two animals. One, described in the first 10 verses of the chapter, rising out of the sea. And the second, described beginning at verse 11 through the end of the chapter, rising out of the earth or the land. Next Sunday evening, we will begin our study of the second of these, starting at the 11th chapter. We've had now two Sunday evenings reading and studying the first of those, the first 10 verses. Tonight we will conclude that section. And then next Sunday evening, we will begin the study of the second of the animals described beginning at the 11th verse, an animal rising up out of the earth. The first of these is a vivid picture we have found in our previous studies of a vehemently antagonistic to God government and the head or leader or ruler of that government. We believe that this totalitarian government, which we have found in the other messages, is going to rule the entire world in the last 3.5 years immediately preceding Jesus' return. Seems to be a future extension of the historical Roman Empire. It's at that point in our study that we begin this evening. To this particular point, we have found in the study that that animal is a picture of a government hostile to God and to the people of God in that day, totalitarian and yet very popular, followed by the people of the world at large who in fact worship it. They're so loyal to it. It is indeed a government. It has authority. It has a crown. It has a throne. It rules. It is clearly the picture of a governing body headed by a man of immense power about whom we will speak more later. But this evening we come once more to identify, because it appears that that government is an extension in the future time of the historical Roman Empire of the past. We come to that conclusion on the basis of two biblical lines of thought. Last Sunday evening we looked in the prophet Daniel, the Hebrew prophet, who prophesied some 530 years before Jesus. And in the second and the seventh and the eighth chapters of his prophecy, he described four great mighty governments that were to rule Israel and the world. One of those visions of those four governments to rule the world was presented under the symbol of four animals. And the fourth of those animals, whom Daniel the prophet saw, representing governments that would rule Israel and the world, resembles amazingly, almost precisely, the description of the animal whom John saw, described in the first 10 verses of this 13th chapter. We would conclude just from the description that John gave, that it is identical to the fourth animal whom Daniel saw in his vision. In his vision, Daniel identified them. The first of them was, he himself declared, the picture of Babylon. The second of those was the picture, we are told in the book of Daniel, of the government that immediately was to follow the Babylonian government of Persia, Medo-Persia. In each case, Daniel declared that these governments would successively follow one another and would rule the world. Babylon the first, to be followed by Medo-Persia next, to be followed after that by Greece, and finally to be followed in the fourth by Rome. And in the days of the fourth government, he declared in two places, Messiah comes and ends that rule and establishes his world, his kingdom in this world. And so it was to be in the days of the last of those that there is to be established on earth the kingdom of Messiah. In one of the visions which Daniel saw, you will remember, these four governments were like an image. The head represented the first of the governments, Babylon, the head of gold, the chest of silver representing the second, the belly representing the third, Greece, and the legs and feet the fourth of iron and clay. And a great stone cut out came and smote the image in the feet. And the stone grew to fill the world, and it was, as Daniel declared, the Messiah's kingdom. Everlasting righteousness was brought in, and the Lord rules the world in his earthly reign. So Daniel gave to us two descriptions of world governments beginning his day, and in each instance the fourth of those, Rome, was to be terminated by the appearing of the kingdom of Messiah. And in one of those, the fourth, picturing Rome, is described as an animal, the description of which is so similar to the one that John has here in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. The second line of thought given to us by the prophet Daniel that causes us to believe that this beast whom he sees in these first 10 verses is a future extension of that Roman Empire is drawn from the book of Daniel. If you would go back for just a moment to the book of Daniel, to the 9th chapter. And we are now going to read in the 9th chapter of the prophet Daniel, beginning at the 24th and following verses. For here we find another line of revelation which enables us to identify this government whom John saw as a future extension of Rome. I am going to begin to read now at verse 24. Let me read first through the end of the chapter, and then I want to go back and briefly give an explanation of what he has written. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. I pause for a moment just to give some comments upon those words of Daniel. The word weeks in the 24th verse is the Hebrew word sevens, or heptads. It does not mean necessarily a seven of days. It simply means a seven. There are many, many reasons, as I think probably with almost without exception Bible students agree, that the context of this section makes clear that the 70 sevens are 70 heptads. It's 77, not of days, but of years. We will see that, I think, more clearly in a moment, for history bears it out that that is true. So that Daniel is given the word that 77, that's a period, a time span of 490 years that are going to be employed for a particular thing. 77, 490 years to finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make atonement for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, and seal up vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy place. Some of those phrases obviously describe the ultimate and final conclusion of all things. 490 to bring to conclusion. Sin and establish everlasting righteousness and conclude prophecy and vision and establish the place of worship of God. Now in verse 25, Daniel is given the word as to when that time period would begin. It is impressive to know how long before those things are going to be brought about, but now we want to know when that begins. And the 25th verse is the answer given to Daniel. So you are to know and to discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. All of you are aware, I think, that at the time that this vision came to Daniel, the city of Jerusalem was leveled. The temple of Solomon had been destroyed. And Daniel himself is over in the Middle East, over in Babylon, the area we know today as Iraq, Iran, that area of the world. He'd been carried away. And the city of Jerusalem and the temple of Solomon had been destroyed. And now the word is given to him that there is going to be given by some ruler a decree that Jerusalem and the temple are to be rebuilt. And from the time that that decree is given by some ruler to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, certain time begins to mark. And by the way, I will just comment at this moment that while there were in history a number of decrees given concerning Jerusalem and the Solomonic temple, that Artaxerxes, about 100 years, approximately 100 years after the time of Daniel. About 100 years after the time this book is being written and this vision is being given, the king of the Second World Empire, Persia, the king named Artaxerxes, in the year 444 B.C., issued a decree that the city of Jerusalem should be rebuilt and the temple rebuilt. And that is why you know that when the Lord himself appeared in his incarnation, Jerusalem again is a city and there is a temple there, because though the city had earlier been leveled and the temple destroyed by Babylon, the kingdom that followed Babylon, Medo-Persia, and one of the kings of that, approximately 100 years after this, decreed that the city ought to be built again. And that is what we are reading about in verse 25. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. 7 heptads plus 62 heptads, a total of 69 sevens, or a period of 483. So he is saying that from the time that this decree to restore and rebuild the city, there is going to be 483 years until Messiah the Prince. It will be rebuilt again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. The implication of that verse is that from the time the decree is given, there will be 49 years that the city will be rebuilt. And then another 62 sevens, 434, and Messiah will appear. And historically, all of that occurred. Approximately 100 years after this, Artaxerxes issued a decree that the city would be rebuilt. And while the walls of the city were rebuilt in a short while, the restoration of the city occupied longer, approximately 49 years. And not only that, but amazingly, and for other those of you who want to read discussions of this, they are several, but I think Dr. Harold Honer at Dallas Seminary has probably done one of the most excellent jobs that I know. Dr. Honer has shown in a series of articles in the theological journal Bibliotheca Sacra how using the Jewish calendar of 360 days a year, which was the calendar of the Jews, that from the time in 444 B.C., when Artaxerxes issued the decree that Jerusalem should be rebuilt, until the day that Jesus presented himself to Israel as the Messiah in his triumphal entry, was precisely 483 years. Or from the time at the end of the 7 sevens, after the 49 years when the city was rebuilt, from that time until the triumphal entry of Jesus, was in fact historically 434 years. It is indeed an absolutely astounding biblical prophetic prediction that is given to us here in the 25th verse. But verse 26 indicates, you will recognize then at that point in this prophecy, that everything has been declared except for the final seven. There have been the 69 sevens described, or there have been described the 7 sevens and the 62 sevens, but the final seven, the final heptad, is yet to be described in this prophecy. And this prophecy of Daniel amazingly indicates that there is to be an intervention of time between the conclusion of the 69 sevens, between the conclusion of the 483 years, and the beginning of the last heptad, the beginning of the last seven, this prophecy infers there is to be between those an intervening and indefinite interim of time. That this period of 493 years was to be 49 from the time the decree is given until Jerusalem is finished, 434 from that time until Messiah presents himself, and then before the last seven begin, there is to be an interim of time inserted. And at the end of that, the last seven is to begin. You will notice in the 26th verse the inference of this. It lies in the statement of that verse, then after the 62 weeks, but not during the 70th seven. The 70th seven begins to be described in the next verse, verse 27. But verse 26 speaks of something that is going to occur after the 483 years. Some things then are going to occur in between and before the final seven begins as described in verse 27. And here are those things predicted that will occur in that indefinite interim of time. In other words, from the time that our Lord presented himself to the nation Israel in his triumphal entry on that Sunday, which we call Palm Sunday, from that time there is to be commenced an indefinite period of time in which certain things will occur. And then at the end of that, the last seven begins, as described in the next verse. And here are some of the things that are going to occur. After the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. Messiah will die. Well, Messiah will be put to death and have nothing. And secondly, the people of a prince who is to come. And I will only say at this point that the prince who is to come, described elsewhere in the scriptures, we believe also is the head of that beast described in Revelation 13. But the people of that prince is whom is described here. The people of that prince will destroy the city and the sanctuary. After Messiah comes, before the last 7 years begin, the first thing, Messiah will die. Secondly, the city of Jerusalem once more will be destroyed. Now this is written 530 years before Christ, when the city hasn't even yet been rebuilt. But once it has been rebuilt and exists, and Messiah comes and presents himself, then Messiah will be cut off, die, put to death. And the people of the prince who is to come will once more destroy Jerusalem again. And not only the city of Jerusalem again, and the sanctuary, the temple, once more will be destroyed. Surely all of us know the historical fulfillment of that. Our Lord Jesus Christ presented himself precisely 434 years in his triumphal entry after the city of Jerusalem had been rebuilt, or 483 years after Artaxerxes issued his decree. The next week he was put to death. And a few years after that, the people of the prince to come, the Roman Empire and its armies swept into the land under Titus and destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, first of all. And later in 120 A.D., the city itself was completely leveled and the people of Israel were almost totally extracted and removed from the land. You will notice a reference. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end will be war. Desolations are determined. I think that's describing the fact that after that, the people of Israel, as well as the world itself, but in particular the nation Israel, was going to suffer extreme kinds of trouble, as has been true. They were dispelled from the land. The city was destroyed, the temple destroyed, and finally, very few were left there at all. The Roman Empire removed them, plucked them off the land, scattered them through the world where they were for 19 centuries nearly, 18 centuries. The end, war, desolations are determined. But verse 27 then begins to say, then the last hephstod, the last seven, begin. And he, referring to the prince, whose people destroyed the city and the temple, as described in the preceding verse, will make a firm covenant with Israel, for once more you have that word weak. Remember that it's the same word I mentioned earlier in verse 24. It's the word seven, or hephstod, for one seven. And in the middle of that seven will put a stop to sacrifice. The people Israel, obviously at that point, are back in the land. Once more they have a temple that has been destroyed previously. But now, at that time, once more they have a place to worship. And this prince will have made a covenant for that 7 years. But in the middle, 3.5, he will put a stop to all of that. And for the last 3.5 years, he will make desolate, even complete destruction is poured out on them. And that, of course, now is what we're reading about over in the Revelation. In the middle of that 3.5, there comes to be a time of awful trouble. And therefore, we conclude that the period of time that was to cover that final government was to go to the very end. In totality, that last or fourth government of Rome was to be destroyed by the coming of Messiah's kingdom and was to end after 490 years. Seven of those years are yet ahead. Seven of those years are yet future. They are to begin when this interim in which we now live, when this interim ends, and the prince of the people of Rome who destroyed the city and the temple, when that prince once more will make a covenant with Israel, but in the middle of that time will break it, and the last 3.5 years, a time of awful trouble. And so we have seen, therefore, that all of these biblical passages infer strongly. In fact, I think it would be accurate to put it more strongly than that, indicate very clearly that the government pictured in Revelation 13 verses 1 through 10 is an extension of that historical empire. That would indicate that at some future time, the geographical area, approximate geographical area, that once existed in the days of Jesus as the Roman government, will once again exist as a mighty government, headed by a ruler
who both of whom are pictured by this beast. And they are being described, and they will exist during those 7 years, and during the last 3.5 years will rule the world in vehement antagonism to God and to his people, and is described by John in this 13th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let us please be very wise, I trust, and I hope we shall always exercise wisdom and judgment. One of the Bible teachers whom I benefited by very much years ago was Dr. Harry Ironside. Dr. Ironside was a visiting lecturer at our seminary almost every year. I remember that he would come to our school and for a period of 2 weeks would lecture 2 hours a day for 2 weeks. We would have the privilege of sitting and opening the scripture every day for 2 weeks, for 2 hours a day. Dr. Ironside, who was at that time pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago and a very gifted student of the Bible, would teach the scriptures, and we would learn. Dr. Ironside, just a few years before that, while he was pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, during the days of the Second World War, forgot something that he later taught us very emphatically. It was to be very careful about identifying Bible prophecy. For Dr. Ironside, during the Second World War, identified Mussolini as the leader, the ruler who is pictured here. And the beginning of the Axis nation, he forgot something which he should have remembered and which he later taught us not to forget. It is a very treacherous thing, my friend, for us in the immediacy of current events to lose our perspective, to fail to see contemporary things in a historical view. And it would be very, very easy for us today to look around and make a mistake to say what we see is the fulfillment. I trust we will not do that. There are some people, for example, who say that the European Economic Community in Europe is a foreshadowing. Most of you are familiar with the European Economic Community. It is the beginning of drawing together of European nations in an economic union that many believe could ultimately result in a political power, which geographically roughly corresponds to the old Roman Empire. And there are some who would feel that that is the beginning, perhaps, of the coming together of those nations in the Mediterranean world in a union, in a government that will initially have enormous power and would ultimately be headed by a leader who would finally control the world. But we must ever resist the temptation to identify. Before that time comes, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will have been caught away to be with the Lord. In the next message next Sunday night, I want to take this evening's message and in a period of about 2 minutes give to you a pictorial display of it. And then we begin the second animal, Revelation 13, verses 11 to the end of the chapter. Let us pray. our Father this evening, that we shall come to understand the Scriptures. Help us, O God, to be wise and to grow in our knowledge of truth. Remind us, even as the Apostle Peter did, seeing all these things shall come to pass, what manner of persons ought we to be? We pray in our Lord's name. Amen. We are dismissed.